This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, and it's time to discuss what just happened with the Senate, because there was a closed-door briefing with the Secret Service, the Senate, the FBI. Before we get to that, just give me a quick second. There are a couple headlines, a few that we're going to read really quickly before we do that. Chilling photo of would-be Trump shooter, and I'm not going to say his name, taken by a sniper nearly an hour before the attempted assassination. Okay, so a sniper took a picture of him an hour before the assassination. Next headline, shooter told the boss he needed the day off before the assassination attempt. Okay, not the end of the world, but understand how things are adding up. Trump rally shooter's parents called the police on the day of the event, said they were worried about him. Okay. Also, still, at least they were worried and did something. Okay, there's that. Officer reported man at Trump rally with a rangefinder 30 minutes before the attempted assassination. They had him out there with a rangefinder, and it was reported. Secret Service director says they're solely responsible. Mayorkas is blocking the Secret Service director from testifying. Okay, those are the headlines. I'm going to play for you. This is Tom Knights. He's with Butler, PA. He's going to outline a couple things for you. And then I'll hit you with the latest breaking news that is, man, I'm still digesting it.
Did in fact see an individual on the roof with a weapon.
He saw the shooter.
He did.
What did your officers do?
So our officers in the area started to converge on the building. My understanding is they did a full perimeter walk of the building. Weren't able to see up on the roof. Two of the officers went to what appeared to be the lowest point from ground to roof. One of the officers actually boosted the second officer up high enough for him to grab hold of the roof. When he was able to pull his head up over the roof, he did in fact see an individual on the roof with a weapon.
He saw the shooter.
He did.
And what did the shooter do?
Turned towards him, had the barrel of his weapon pointed at the officer.
At that point, the officer's hanging on to the side of the roof?
Yes. Strictly defensive movement for him to lower his head, duck, lost his own grip, right? Fell approximately 8 feet to the ground.
That's a steep drop.
It's a good drop, yes.
Did he get hurt?
He did.
In that moment, did they realize there's a threat right now to the former president?
They did. So both the boosting officer and the officer that fell were both on the radio, indicating that there was an individual on the roof that did, in fact, have a weapon.
Who did they radio?
So there was a blanket tactical channel being
used. Everyone heard it.
Everyone that was on that tactical channel heard it, yes.
How much time between that radio communication and the gun being fired at the former president?
That I don't have that information.
Okay. Now, you know, I was going to have Chris do the journalist Jesse thing because it's breaking news, but Chris, don't bother. This story is getting darker and more mysterious. The Senate just had a briefing. FBI, Secret Service, the works. There are a few things that came out of it. The shooter visited the rally site a few days in advance to scope it out. Okay, that's not out of the norm. You would expect that. Very clearly a man who's planning, though. This is not some random wingnut who woke up that morning and decided to do it. He was planning. 62 minutes elapsed between the time the shooter was photographed after being suspicious when he fired the shots. 20 minutes elapsed between the time he was spotted by the snipers and when he fired the shots. The snipers spotted him, 20 minutes before he fired. Okay. And that isn't at all the worst part of this. Here it is. FBI Director Wray said there's no known foreign nexus, but no established motive as of now. Why? Because the shooter used encrypted comms and had little to no social media presence. The shooter had encrypted comms. You know, we had encrypted audio in the Marines. I just leave it that way, radios and such. You know, Marine bases are locked down, they're secured, they're guarded. And the armory where we keep all of our weapons is extra guarded. It's, you know, a citadel within a Marine Corps base. But then there's a special armory within the armory for encrypted stuff. Encrypted stuff is a really, really, really big deal. We have a 20-year-old man with no social media presence at all. None. That alone has red flags going off everywhere for me. But why would he have encrypted comms at all, period? Who provided him with those? And why would he have encrypted comms if he was acting alone? You know, you ever heard of a burner phone? A burner phone, it's a phone you can buy Walmart, somewhere like that, with cash. You see it in the spy movies all the time. That's why I know about a burner phone. A burner phone. You buy it. It's not traced back to you. It's not tied to you financially. You buy it and you call and you make your spy deals or drug deals or whatever you're doing on a burner phone. I don't know. I don't have one. And then you throw it away. You know, it's probably a little bit of a red flag if you ever catch your spouse with a burner phone, because the only reason to have a burner phone is if you're communicating with somebody you shouldn't be communicating with. Someone please give me a plausible explanation why a 20-year-old who doesn't have a Facebook or Twitter page has encrypted comms. Anybody? Anyone at all? Look, I'm not making any conclusions. I don't know that I ever will. Because who do you trust to get real information from? All I can do is tell you new news whenever we get new news. When I get inside information, I tell you when I have inside information. This is not inside. This is public. You'll hear this everywhere. By tomorrow, this will be all over the radio everywhere you go. But look, normally in the wake of something like this, obviously, theories, conspiracy theories, if we want to call them that, they will run wild. They'll run absolutely wild. They'll go all over the place. What about this? What about that? It was the CIA. It was the Russians. It was that's the norm. Normally, they'll run wild. But what happens is the conspiracy theories in the wake of something like this tend to die out. They slowly but surely fade away. And the reason that is once facts are revealed, once new information is run down and exposed, a lot of the theories, the conspiracy theories, don't really hold water anymore. They kind of just sound nutty and you sound like a fruitcake when you say it. Well, in this situation, the more we learn, the worse it gets. In this particular situation, and it may still be, look, remember, it may still be a lone gunman. I don't know. You don't know. But in this particular situation, if you are one of the people who believes, and I'm not sure I don't believe this, so maybe I'm pointing fingers at me. If you're one of the people who believes this is just one 20-year-old wingnut who acted all by himself, if you're one of the people who believe that, you are actually the one who looks worse and worse and less credible and less credible and less credible as more and more facts come out. I would like to know where a 20-year-old without social media learned to use detonators. I'd like to know where he learned to use a rangefinder, shoot, I'd like to know where he learned to scout ahead. I'd like to know why he has encrypted comms but no Facebook page. These are all things I'd like to know, and I'm sure you'd like to know as well. In fact, we're going to ask, Jack Posobiec's going to join us in a moment. I'm going to ask Jack Posobiec about this. I'm interested in his perspective on a couple of these things. Before we get to Jack, I know that it gets weirder and weirder and weirder, and somehow the angst around this whole thing continues to go up the further we get away from it. That's terrible. It's awful. It's wrong. So sleep may be hard to come by. That's why we have MyPillow. That's why MyPillow was there. MyPillow was there for days like today when you can't sleep and you're thinking, oh my gosh, is it a conspiracy? Was it the Iranians? Who did it? Well, look, you can stress about that tonight. You can stress about it tomorrow. But what you don't have to do is lose sleep over it, because MyPillow has a $25 extravaganza sale going on right now, and everybody can take advantage of it. Go pounce on a $25 extravaganza sale. Buy all the MyPillow you can get your hands on. And then no matter what's in the news or no matter what happens, you will sleep like an itty-bitty little baby. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special Square, and use the promo code Jesse, or call them, 800-845-0544. All right? We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Thanks for bringing us back with that one, Chris. We need some more cowbell on, but we're going to have to settle for Jack Posobiec, the author, world-famous author of a new anti-communist book, which I love. I've already told you about it, Unhuman. Jack, before we get to your book and all the insanity surrounding everything, I've made the decision a few hours ago to be a sunglasses inside guy.
Yeah, so I was kind of like looking at you, because I came by earlier, and I was here yesterday, and I didn't see the sunglasses, so I was not here for the change of command.
Before
your transition. And so, Jesse, I have to know, what all does the new Jesse Kelly provide, including the sunglasses?
Well, you may be intimidated by the bright lights in here, Jack. I'm not, because I have sunglasses on.
Yes, of course.
I'm not sure if your vision's 20/20. Mine really, it's really not anymore. And so these are prescription, if we're being honest.
Okay,
and so now I can see faces clearer and everything.
Yes.
But I don't need them to read your book, I'll tell you that much. I can read them because I don't need reading glasses. Boom. How about that one? I tossed
that's
it to
not,
you.
That's not bad.
Okay.
That is not bad.
No, in all seriousness, we talk a lot about divisions on the right, and that's fine. The divisions are fine. Arguments fine.
Well, I got some here. What is this? What is this?
Oh, that must be Julio Rosas left his sunglasses.
Did Julio leave his sunglasses? These are the tiniest little sunglasses.
One thing we have to be is anti-communist. We must be anti-communist, because unless we defeat these people, nothing else matters. That's the reason we have to be anti-communist. So wherever you fall, you have to be an anti-communist. Tell me about the book. Tell me about the vile, freaking, disgusting history of these monsters.
Well, and it's amazing, and you know, you know as well as I that it goes to their history, but it goes to their present, and it is predictive as well, because so when we wrote the thing, we have Steve Bannon wrote the foreword. Well, we didn't know when we were writing it when the book came out that Steve Bannon would be a political prisoner behind bars right now. That whenever I want to email him, I've got to go through like the DOJ encrypted Merrick Garland looking over my shoulder app to go through this thing. Then we didn't know that, by the way, 1 week after the book comes out, that one of these psychopaths is going to take a shot at President Trump. But at the same time, when you read about the history of Spain 1934 or Russia 1917, all of a sudden, a lot of very interesting things seem to happen. The assassination of national leaders who are seen as against the revolution, the locking up of the opposition, the criminalization of every other political party. In fact, all of these things are the exact same TTPs that you would find tactics, techniques, and procedures in every single other communist revolution, or even the French Revolution, which is essentially a pre-Marxist communist revolution, proto-communist revolution, if you will. It is always the same tenor, because at the end of the day, people have to understand this. They do not care about equality. They don't care about justice. They don't care about, equal for the races and genders. It's not about any of that stuff. It is about the fact that they view you as being in the way of this current moment, this life, whatever we're in, and their utopia. And they're only just a few genocides away, a few more mass killings away from just getting it right.
Jack, can you explain, you and I have actually had this discussion before a little bit, but can you explain, like, we had a revolution here, we had an American revolution, and obviously there was war and there was fighting and there was death, but there wasn't assassinations and all this horrible stuff. That's not what happened during our revolution, yet it seems to happen everywhere communists are found. Why are they so okay with it? Why is it just, it's just, you just build it in. The second you get dirty commies, violence and death follow. Why?
So it's quite simple that communists are essentially driven, not, they'll tell you, you know, it's, they have the sign in front of their houses, you know, hate has no home here, and refugees welcome. We in this house, we believe in science, right?
Course, yes.
You know, those are the tautologies that they claim to believe in. I'm not saying everyone who has that sign is a communist, but you know, it's probably a good heuristic. But it's a check. You know, it's a check. It's a red flag, and they love their red flags. And so, what it is they're not driven by love or equality. They're driven by hatred, and particularly this type of hatred is envy. So they're driven by envy. They're driven by greed. They're the people who will say, you know, they're living in a town. So say you have a town, and in this town, there's you know, there's a bad side of town. There's a good side of town. And then there's like the really good side of town. We're talking the gated community, the house on the hill, right? Well, these are the people who are usually actually living in the good part of town. This is something interesting. It's not the bad part of town. Every town's got a bad part of town. It is what it is. But they live in the good part of town. And they look over at the nice gated part of town, the house on the hill, and they say, you know what? What if instead of working hard and bettering our lot and doing well for our families, what if we just went in and killed all those people and took all their stuff and said that, you know, they exploited us and used that as a way of justification? And what if we went to that bad part of town and recruited a bunch of people and said, hey, you know, the only reason this part of town is bad is because that guy up in the hill is exploiting you. I say, what do you mean? Exploit? Yeah, it's his fault. So let's go in and let's kill him and his family and let's rape his daughters and let's rape his wife and let's make him watch as we do it. And if you think I'm being hyperbolic, by the way, I have a whole book full of citations.
No, you're
Spain,
being nice. No,
Haiti,
you're being nice.
Russia, mm-hmm. where this is exactly what they do. And mm-hmm. they loose these wild feral dogs from those parts of town, and then in some instances they will line you up against the wall and shoot you in the head, and if that doesn't work, the bayonets come out in the basement, and it doesn't matter if you're children, it doesn't matter at all. And so that is the envy that is essentially out there. And by the way, what they do is afterwards, they don't share the spoils in with the folks from the bad part of town. No, afterwards, what they do is, well, they take the house and then they start running things. And of course they run the town into the ground. That's communism.
And then kill everyone who helped them out from the bad part of town, which is pretty much the norm around here. Okay, Jack, his book is Unhuman. I have a hard out, I have to get out of here. Go purchase it wherever books are sold, all right? All right, now let me tell you something real quick. Jack Posobiec doesn't need chalk, but you do, all right? You see, male vitality stacks, female vitality stacks, chocolate powder, Chad mode. Have you ever heard of Chad mode? You know, pre-workouts. Pre-workouts are something you take before a workout, get you jazzed up and ready to go. Well, they're also full of crap. They're full of garbage. You should stop taking that. You want a pre-workout? Chad mode's all natural caffeines. Of course, chalk would go and find a way to do this better than anyone else did it. Chalk has whatever you're looking for. If you're looking for help with something, go reach out to Chalk and find out what it is. All right? Find out a solution for it, I should say. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse, or you can call or text them. 50CHOQ3000. 50CHOQ3000. All right? All right, we got to get knock out some of these emails and deal with some more Mayorkas Secret Service stuff and all kinds of things. Ooh, and a Navy SEAL. Next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Do not forget tomorrow's and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Well, obviously, we talk about a lot of things on the show, politics and life and culture and whatnot. But every now and then, we like to give back here on the show by helping out the less fortunate. So I thought it would be good to have a Navy guy on right now. Joining me now, Congressman Eli Crane of Arizona, Navy SEAL, of course, but still in the end, could you not find the Marine Corps recruiting office?
You're so philanthropic, Jesse. It's unbelievable, man. You know, my story, man. I grew up in Yuma, Arizona, where mm-hmm. we had a Marine base, and I wanted to be a Marine because you guys have cool
Everyone
uniforms.
Yeah.
And then I learned about the SEAL teams, and I was like, it was like, you know, when you figure out you go from playing JV to varsity, like how much faster the guys are, how much harder they hit. That's exactly what it was like. So,
okay, I really want to know, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who wants to know. The first time you came out of the water, I'm sure it was in training a million times before you ever had to do it in combat, but the first time you came out of the water like one of those dudes in the movies, weapon up, and you come out of the ocean,
oh, man.
Please tell me that was the coolest freaking thing in the world, or were you just so beat tired by that point you didn't care?
You are, but it is. It is, and it's with a rubber gun we call the Shape. You guys had them
mm-hmm,
too.
Mm-hmm.
But and one of the coolest things, Jesse, is the first time you do it, you know that many of your buddies are in an office behind a desk somewhere, and you're like, yes, this is what I've worked so hard for. You know, I can't, because it takes a long time in our training before they even give you a Shape. Like, they won't even let you near a rubber gun until you've proven that you have the physical and mental fortitude to take a serious beatdown, right? And so that's even a privilege right there. And so once you start to get to do stuff like that, and then you move into, you know, small unit tactics, weapons, you know, explosives, et cetera, it's just like, it's like, mind-blowing for a young man.
Gosh, that's so cool. All right, so I'm not getting off this. I'm sure we can probably talk about other stuff, but everyone knows about BUDS. Now, I don't mean they know about BUDS until you've been through it, which I have not. You don't know about it, but everyone's seen the movies and they've read the books and they get all that. But what a lot of people don't know is the training that comes after BUDS. The training, it's not like you graduate BUDS and you drop right to the teams.
Right.
What is that? Because I read a fascinating book. I think it was called The Finishing School, I believe it was called. I forget what the book was called.
Yeah.
I read a fascinating book on that once, and I never knew. You know, when you're on the outside looking in, like me, you think, you get the trident put on, and there you're off to the SEALs. But that's not how it works.
Well, it's funny because even going before The Finishing School, which is called SQT, SEAL Qualification Training, I look at a guy like you, Jesse, and what are you, 6'6", 6'7"? Yeah, you're like 6'6". I'm 6'8". Don't short me. But you would have got crushed in SEAL training because there's nobody else your size, and everything's done by height line, right? All the boat crews, seven-man teams are done by height line. So the next closest guy to you probably would have been maybe 6'3". Like, I was always in boat crew one at the end of Hell Week once a bunch of guys get weeded out. I'm 6'1", you're 6'8". So what that would have meant was is when we're running with those rubber boats on our heads with about 40 pounds each on top, 200-pound boat, you distribute it. It's close to about 35, 40 pounds on each guy's head, just smacking up and down. You would have had to run with your neck craned all the way to the side. We had one guy in my class. I'll just say his name was Gabe, and he was a professional baseball player before he got bounced out of the major leagues. And he was 6'6", and he had to run with his head craned to the side with that boat on his head. And the instructors were screaming at him to get your head up, Gabe, get your head up. And I felt so bad for the guy because, like, I was the next tallest guy at 6'1". There's no way it would have broke his neck. And so, but they didn't care. And so You would probably have broke your neck.
I wouldn't have made it. We did log PT in the Marines from time to time, and I always got the shaft in that because the next two or three guys behind me, I was the tallest all in front. The log was not on their shoulders because I was so much taller than them, it couldn't slope down enough to get to them. So on that SEAL stuff, I could have never done it. Okay, I'm gonna transition.
Yeah, you can
from
say that again. You could have never done it.
You know what?
Log,
you know,
PT.
I
would have probably.
I shouldn't have said that.
What'd your log look like? Was it like a baseball bat? Unbelievable.
I don't want to talk to
you.
You
guys didn't even
anymore.
Use real telephone poles.
All right. Speaking of training. Okay, yeah. Eli, we all remember Saturday. We've all talked about it a ton. But we had this latest thing that just came out. Christopher Wray tells the Senate behind closed doors. This 20-year-old young man, he was there days ahead of time scouting. Okay, so it doesn't take a super genius to figure out you need to go scout your target. But still, that shows some level of sophistication. He has no social media page, okay? Yeah. And now, according to Christopher Wray, this is just a report that just came out, but he had encrypted comms. Eli, I'm not taking anything and running with it in some wild theory, but at this point in time, I don't know what to believe, brother. And the more I learn, the weirder it gets and the worse it looks. How am I supposed to, as an American, not as a radio host or, of course, a super important United States Marine, how am I supposed to digest this?
No, I'm in the same spot, Jesse. You know, I've been talking to guys recently that have intimate knowledge as well, or that have intimate knowledge of what went down on Saturday and also some of the investigations, you know, moving forward. And what I'm hearing from the ground is the same thing. The more I learn, the crazier this entire thing gets, you know, and like you said, encrypted comms, you know, that's one thing. But I'm talking to individuals that are telling me one of the scariest things that they know about is, you know, just the explosives this guy had on him and some of the one of the transmitters that he had in his pocket was a 12-channel transmitter.
What?
Yeah. So this guy
that's
could
military.
Yeah. So this guy and it doesn't add up, Jesse, because. You know, you were a Marine. You know, I went through into the Navy, then gone on and did some training myself. As a 20-year-old kid, you don't learn about advanced explosives just like that, especially when the FBI and others are saying you don't have an internet or social media footprint, right? And so all I'm saying is that this federal government has given the American people and you and me plenty of reasons to doubt almost everything they say. I think the American people and the people that listen to your show should continue to be skeptical, but also cautious at the same time, you know, because I think there is a lot of misinformation flying around out there that I've read online already. And so I think we need to be cautious, but we also need to be skeptical and, you know, that we need to continue to follow this and stay on it like a dog on a bone.
Not that I'm, well, obviously I am worried about you, but not that I'm worried about you as much as I am some other people who don't know how to take care of themselves. But look, you're a family man, right? Have you reassessed things? Have you adjusted things? I mean, we are in an environment now, brother, there are a lot of crazy people out there and violent people, and even Navy SEALs aren't bulletproof. Have you?
Oh, absolutely.
How do you handle this because you're a politician now, as much as you hate to call yourself that?
Yeah, you know, I'm getting to the point where I probably need to start stepping that up. I haven't had any real close calls, anything that's really scared or alarmed me yet. And you know, it's like for those of us that have gone into, you know, dangerous environment, you know, I think some people have it better than others, but your spidey senses are you know, a real thing. And anybody that's been in really tight, hairy situations, I've had several times where things got really bad, really fast. And, you know, not every time, but many times my spidey senses kicked me off, you know, tuned me into, hey, something bad's about to happen. And so I try and trust my instinct. I try to be careful. But at the same time, you are onto something. And I think many of us are starting to look at our security footprint and, you know, how much and where we go and who we should have around us.
No doubt about it. He is Congressman Eli Crane, one of the very best ones we have, even though he was Navy. Eli, I appreciate you,
that's,
my brother.
That's a low bar. One of the best ones we have. It's a pretty pathetic group, to be honest with you. It's like the tallest midget, you know?
It's so
you know, you were thinking it.
Oh, I was thinking it. I was getting ready to say it.
Yeah.
Eli Crane, everybody, thank you so much, my brother. I appreciate you very much, as always. Yeah, guy's the man. There aren't very many good ones, dude. That's one of the good ones. You know what else is good? Your dog not dying. I talk about rough greens all the time. And I talk about it because, yes, it improved. It fixed Fred's digestive issues. My poor dog had a problem after every meal. And my poor wife had a problem after every meal. Well, no, my wife didn't have the problem. Fred had the problem. Whatever. You know what I'm saying. And rough greens fixed that, and I'm grateful for that. But I want him to live a long time. You know, I've told you the boys were out of town. The dogs, they just become part of your family, don't they? They're just part of your family. The boys are texting us every day. Hey, how's Fred? Fred okay? Fred doing okay? Checking in on the dog. This is what the dog has done to us. I want that dog to live as long as possible, and that's why I pour rough greens on his food. Because he doesn't get nutrition from his food. Your dog doesn't get any nutrition from his dog food. Pour rough greens on your dog's food so your dog can live longer and healthier, all right? 833-33-MY-DOG gets you a free jumpstart trial bag, or you can go online, roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. I have to get to this just because it makes me laugh. I'm sorry. I should probably talk about something serious, but it's been a lot of serious, and this makes me laugh. You remember, Chris, if you don't mind, pull this up. I probably should have talked to you about this during the break, but you remember Joe Biden's story about Corn Pop and the razor fight. Do you remember that whole story when Joe Biden was at the public pool? I'm going to have Chris play it for you in a second in case you forget. But Joe Biden speaking in front of black people, Joe Biden pandering to black people, is the funniest politics I believe I have ever seen or heard in my entire life. He's such a liar. And he's so shameless that, remember, I'm just setting the stage because I know you can't see it. We're on radio here. He's in a black neighborhood. He's in a speech surrounded by black people talking to other black people. And he decides to tell this clearly embellished story. Go ahead, Chris, go.
Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys. And I did. Yeah, and back in those days, you show how things have changed. One of the things you had to use, if you used pomade in your hair, you had to wear a bathing cap. And so he was up on the board, wouldn't listen to me. I said, hey, Esther, you, off the board, or I'll come up and drag you off. Well, he came off, and he said, I'll meet you outside. My car, there was a gate out here. I parked my car outside the gate. He said, I'll be waiting for you. He was waiting for three guys in straight razors. Not a joke. And I walked up to my car. And they had
all
those
right,
days.
All right, Chris, I got it. You got it. Of course, he can't help it. He's like, the boys. He's calling them boys. You know, the black people love that joke. That's right. He calls them boys, and he had to bring up the pomade. After all, I know you all have Jerry curls. He just can't help himself when he gets around black people, when he gets in front of a black audience. It's just the funniest I've ever heard. Well, he did it again. I think he was speaking at the NAACP, and he started talking about his friend Mouse from the projects.
One of my best friends, when I was a lifeguard in the projects, his nickname is Mouse.
Old Joe Biden and Mouse and Corn Pop in the hood. they used to mix it up in the concrete jungle all the time. Gosh, I can't stop. I'm crying. Quit. Don't do that to me, Joe. Jesse, as you're being wined and dined at the RNC and having more guests in one show than you normally do in a month, I can't help but giggle that almost every one of your guests I've heard all have said literally, I wish I was watching the show live to see you cringe each time. You know, you can watch the show. It's on the First TV. They're simulcasting the whole thing. You watch me do it. Anyway, I know you claim guests are boring, and that's why you don't have them, but I think the real reason is you've started a campaign against the word literally, and everyone says it, and now they look dumb on your show. You know, I don't like it that you all constantly use my words against me and make fun of me when you know I'm doing stuff I don't like doing. It's wrong. It's wrong. Would I do that to you? No, I would never. I'm not that type of person. Jesse, why doesn't Biden hold any appointees accountable or get fired? Kim Cheadle, the buck stops with me, goes before Congress Monday and has no intention of resigning. Well, we talked about this a little bit at length last night, where once you have an institution that's been corrupted, and it doesn't have to be the government or Secret Service. Let's make it about something smaller. What's one of the smaller the HOA, a homeowners association. You either have one or you have had one in the past, or you know someone who has. A homeowners association. Oh, the weeds are too long. Oh, you got to take the trash out. Oh, you got the, okay, a homeowners association, right? Something very, very basic, very local, very basic. Also important if you're thinking about getting involved locally. Anyway, an HOA. So an HOA is what? It's a group of people. You receive dues. You receive what are essentially taxes from the people who live under the jurisdiction of the HOA. And you take those taxes. And with those taxes, you're supposed to do certain things. The common areas are mowed and weed-eated, and Christmas decorations are put up at Christmas time. The basic things, okay, basic things an HOA would do. But if your HOA, because of the negligence of the people, if the HOA slowly but surely was taken over by people who only cared about themselves, maybe some of them didn't even live in the neighborhood. They only cared about power and money and themselves. And they cared not at all for you, not at all for anything else. Then what would happen over a period of time is the HOA would become corrupt. In fact, your HOA might be corrupt. Have you looked into it? Anyway, it would become corrupt. And because people don't study these things, let's say the HOA takes in $10,000 a year, maybe they spend $7,000 on the mowing and the Christmas lights, and then a little extra money goes into their pockets. And this goes on for any length of time where the HOA has become corrupted. Well, what will inevitably happen, as happens with any criminal institution, the top goal of the corrupted HOA will, over time, become only protecting the HOA. Not the Christmas lights, not the mowing of the neighborhood, not you or your problems or the weeds or anything else. It just becomes protecting itself. That's what you see now with virtually every government institution we have. So completely broken that it only exists to protect itself. And that's why you need to switch your cell phone service to companies like Pure Talk, because corporations are corrupt and evil too, and they've joined forces with this government to push this filth on all of us. Stop funding it. Look, you can't stop paying taxes, but you can stop paying Verizon. You can stop paying AT&T. You can stop paying T-Mobile. Switch to Pure Talk. Their CEO is a veteran. They love the country. They brag about the country. They hire Americans. You'll pay less. You'll pay half. We switched from T-Mobile. Our bill got cut in half, in two. Zip. That's the sound scissors make that I just did on the radio. Zip. See that? That was my bill getting cut in half. Pick up your phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an additional 50% off your first month. All right? #250. Say Jesse Kelly. Also, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I'm going to hear from you. They don't have to be political. Whatever your questions are, email them in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Chris will have them all printed for me. We're going to answer a boatload of them tomorrow. Don't know how many guests we're going to have on tomorrow. We're just going to have to wait and see how all that works out. But jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Keep your chin up. Smile. We'll do it again tomorrow. All right? That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.